I'd like to call the meeting of the District 57 Board of Education to order. Virginia, would you take the roll, please?
Here.
Mrs. Kovas?
Here.
Mrs. Quelch?
Here.
Mr. Lee?
Here.
Mr. McCluskey?
Here.
Mrs. Nadel?
Here.
Mr. Sonnenfeld?
Here. So the first item is communications. Do we have an NSSEO report?
I attended the meeting on August 9th. It was a very routine meeting. There was a lot of items on the consent agenda, getting ready for school, and there was no things out of the ordinary that were taking place. Everything was on course. There was a pretty exciting shining star. Shining star is every meeting they have one student that demonstrates what NSSEO is doing, and it was a young man at minor school who, as a younger guy, was on the wrong course, and it showed his progress, and really, he keeps himself busy. He's very accomplished. He's a hockey player. He's a student aide at one of the local schools, and really did show some of the things that they do over at NSSEO. Good example.
Nice. Education Foundation, Joe?
No report.
I heard some concerning news that the Ed Foundation is kind of lacking for leadership, shall we say, and that hoping for some new.
Yeah, Larry's going to stay on because no one's kind of stepping up,
okay.
But because his third year is up, but he's continuing on. They're not going to do, from what I gather, they're still going to do a raffle, and they'll announce that stuff at the back to schools, and then it doesn't look like there's going to be a fall event, since it was kind of like of a break even kind of a thing. It was really the raffle that was the maker of the money, and then they're setting for the spring event.
Okay, so they are going to have someone speak at the back to school night.
I believe they are. I will have Larry.
All right.
The principals would appreciate,
because that
again.
Would be
okay.
Good, a good time for them to try to recruit new members too, because I know their numbers are kind of down on the board.
Yeah, they've been trying. So I've tossed out some names. Hopefully he.
Okay, good. I'm glad you're our extra liaison. And PTO reports. Anyone? And I just want to double check. I see we have the list of PTO liaison assignments. Has everybody been in contact, at least, with their PTO president? And
yeah.
There are no concerns about that? Okay. Good. Then moving on to the board president's report, we're going to talk about the agenda for our board self-evaluation at the end. We'll talk about that under board discussions, because I think that might be a little more lengthy of a discussion. But what I want to bring your attention initially is that by your place you have a board meeting evaluation sheet. And it's Karen's suggestion, I thought was a really good one, that we do this after the meeting tonight, just in preparation for our board self-evaluation, just to kind of take the temperature of how everybody's feeling about how the board's meetings are running. And then the other thing that I want to mention to you all is that I'm going to have the opportunity next week to speak at each of the back-to-school nights. And I have a whole laundry list of things I could talk about, but I think that my focus is going to be on getting the parents kind of challenging to start to think like owners and not just customers of the district, because we have some big things coming down the pipeline here in terms of thinking about a future. You know, what the future of Lincoln Middle School is going to be like, and also just, you know, the state of our buildings in terms of how full they are right now. You know, there's there's no flexibility at Westbrook for anything. And really, Lions is the only one that's not really full. So those are that's kind of the direction I'm going with my comments on back to school night. So if anybody has, if you think about it and you have some suggestions, you want to send me an email, that'd be great. The first back to school night is on Monday, so I'm going to be really kind of working on that over the weekend as much as I can. All right, so going on, so this is our first opportunity for community comments. So if there's anybody here that would like to address the board, has anything on their mind, we're happy to hear from you. Just step up to the microphone and introduce yourself. Let us know who you are.
I have two sons that go to Fairview, and I had written an email just the other day regarding the before and after school care. And I appreciate the superintendent responding back to me with that. I appreciate it. But I had some additional thoughts on it and some questions. So for those of you that might not have read the email, I did some research on the comparing other school districts, including Mount Prospect School Districts. All of the other programs for before and after school care are sponsored by park districts, and they are half as much as ours. The average cost per day of ours is about $32 per child. The other ones are about $15. It gets even worse if you need the part-time care. For part-time care, it's about $55 a day. So for me, who needs about an hour before and an hour after for two kids, that's $110 a day. So true story, when I signed my kids up for kindergarten, or first grade actually, I'm like, yes, I need before and after school care. And when I really found out what it was, I was just floored. I was absolutely floored, not just at the pricing, but the fact that there is no flexibility. And so I immediately, literally went out and knocked on all my neighbors' doors until I found somebody else to watch my kids. And I talked to my boss about moving my schedule so I'd only need one. And so I talked to like other parents in this school district, so about 20 or so, and about a third of them fall into the same category as me. One of the things that was mentioned was this is a revenue generator for the school district. Okay, that's fair, we need revenue. But I deal a lot with economics where I work at. And if you're losing all these customers because of that, then we might actually not be getting as much revenue as we could if we lower the prices a little bit. But not so much just on a daily basis, but almost all the other districts offer, for example, sibling discounts. They offer a discount if you get both before and after. Now, do they do this just because they're nice and it's the goodness of their own heart? Maybe, but it's also probably because the more you're paying, the more incentive you have to do something else, right? So if you have two kids, suddenly your hourly cost is a little bit different. If you could potentially talk to your boss about moving your hours because you don't want to have to buy before and after school care. So I guess one of the things I would like to know is what would it take to maybe reopen that discussion about providing that before and after school care? I mean, I realize this year's started, the budgets are already done, but is there something we can do to look at discounts, maybe lowering the costs so everybody doesn't have the incentive to call everybody they know? So when they have like a third or a fourth grader, they're like, maybe I can leave them home sometimes. And even more importantly, we have absolutely no flexibility in our program. It's all or nothing. And once you are in, you're in or you're out. Not all schools, I'm not talking about a drop-in program, because I realize sometimes it's hard to staff for that. But if a parent is registered and they know ahead of time and you have space, I mean, you could make money there. I mean, $100 a day, if you gave people the opportunity to, you know, hey, I know I have to go at a conference and my husband can't do it when I go to this conference in December. What am I going to do? I don't have family here. A lot of people are like me. And it really is a burden on working parents, especially moms that work. So I guess that's my question to you guys. What would it take to kind of reopen that discussion about before and after school care, how it is compared to the neighboring districts, and maybe the district would even get more revenue if they made it more flexible?
Well, thanks for your comments, and I'll just let you know that we revisit the fees every year. So for next school year, we'll be looking at the fees for everything, and that comes up when in December. in December. And so we look at the administration being forward their proposals for the fee structure for next school year, and then we discuss it, and then we adopt it at the following month in January.
Okay.
So, and like I said, we revisit this every year, and so we'll be discussing it again in December. So you're welcome to come back, and anyone else who's interested, and happy to entertain some new creative approaches.
So is it a special meeting to discuss that?
Yeah, it would be at our board meeting, which would be the third Thursday in December. That's when we'll be discussing the fees for next year.
Okay. I have one more question. So it was mentioned that it was compared to other programs. Is there a way to get that list of other programs that it was compared to?
Probably not at this time because of changing personnel. It would have been working notes. It wouldn't have been a formal document that was produced.
Okay. Because I couldn't find one. The YMCA was the closest, but it's a very different product because they have swimming and rock climbing and all kinds of things. But okay. So I'll probably send another email with additional information and get some more people together for that meeting. But thank you for your time today.
All right. Thank you. Okay, then let's move on to staff reports. The first one is a report of the 2016-17 tentative budget.
Good evening. At this time, I'm just going to highlight a few things from the memo. So this is part of the formal adoption process. The tentative budget is coming forward to you this evening in the state form. After this evening's meeting, it will be published in a newspaper of local publication, which for us is the Daily Herald. It will be on public display for the 30-day period. Community is able to come in and comment or view that budget, and then we will have the formal adoption at the September 29th meeting. Taking a look at some of the backgrounds and some of the highlights, the aggregate fund balance is looking to decrease by a total of $78,388. And the operating budget is calling for a deficit spending plan of almost $975,000. The chart on the memo tries to very straightforward lay out the movement of money in between the working cash fund, the capital projects fund, and the O&M fund. The abatement of working cash of $500,000 that the board approved at the previous meeting, and then the transfer of funds from the O&M fund to the capital projects fund to reimburse the fund for all of the construction projects that have taken place over the last fiscal year. In your packet, you have several documents, the state form and budget form, and then several exhibits breaking down the fiscal year by function, for revenues and expenditures. Local sources, district is budgeting 17.886 million dollars in property taxes, looking at a collection rate of approximately 98%. We know that is based on the CPI of 0.8%. New growth is just about $720,000. On the expenditure side, we know that most of the expenditures are made up by salary and benefits cost, which makes up approximately 70 to 80% of the budget. And this was put in the packet last Wednesday, so this will reflect what was known at the time, the best available data. There will be changes in between what you see today and what you see in September based on any of the hiring and adding of positions or changing of positions that have taken place during that time. The recommendation is for the board to approve the tentative budget. So if you have any questions, I would be open to entertaining those at this time.
I'd like to ask about the $2 million in bonds. Is that reflected in this budget?
Yes, actually, if you go to the best way to see it, I think, would be on page 2, which is the budget summary. Budget summary shows the beginning operations and maintenance fund balance after those transfers that I talked about have taken place. $196,227 is that opening fund balance. Then up top, you're looking at a little over 3.1 in revenues, 1.2 in expenditures, and then that $2 million of reimbursement of working cash bonds are going back into the O&M fund. You'll see that as part of function 7110. And then if you flip over to page 4 of the summary, you'll see the ending cash balance of $2.5 million in the O&M fund, taking into consideration the $2 million in working cash bonds to reimburse the district for those construction projects.
Okay, so on a macro level, because that's the only way I look at budgets, if we're receiving the $2 million and we would receive that all during this fiscal year, would we get it that quickly?
Yes.
Okay. Then if our deficit is what you said, just shy of $1 million, $975,000.
Yes.
But our fund balance is only going to decrease by, I think you said, I forget the number, it's 90 something?
78,000.
How does that work exactly when we're getting an additional $2 million? And
I think if you turn to the summary on page 2, and go to line 22, that's where it breaks it down in the individual funds and looks at the either surplus or deficit of the individual funds. For example, the education fund, our largest fund, which encompasses most of the district spending, you will see a deficit of $1.97 million. You follow across that line, you'll see the other individual funds. So the $2 million in working cash bonds will help the overall fund balance, will reimburse the O&M fund for that construction, but when it comes to the overall funds, that's where we're seeing the decrease in taking a look at O&M, the deficit in transportation, and the retirement fund. So kind of two different ways to look at this, as you pointed out. You know, on the macro, micro level, yes, the fund balance is overall decreasing by a small amount of money, but the funds in the education fund, which is in the greatest amount of need, we have a deficit of, at this time, of almost $2 million. And again, rationale for that is maintaining the programs, maintaining the high level of education that the community expects, maintaining the low class sizes, hiring for additional instructional assistance at buildings when those class sizes get to be in those, you know, higher numbers. so we can still provide that high level of education that our community expects.
Nothing, none of the expenses in the going out of the education fund have anything to do with physical work done to these campuses, right?
No, that is entirely in both the operations and maintenance fund and the capital projects fund. And a lot of the larger scale construction projects that are going to affect the value of the buildings, the capital improvements, is what you see, which the board usually approves through the capital projects fund. Traditionally, the board has transferred money between the operations and maintenance fund and the capital projects fund to pay for those capital improvements of the buildings, like the board experienced when they did the walkthrough of the facilities last week.
Thank you. So if I'm looking at this correctly, on that one line item that you just called out, on page 2, line item 22,
mm-hmm.
So the capital projects, so we're in deficit of $850,000. Now, what is pulling that number? Because I know we agree to every year about $750,000 that we spend for capital improvements. Is that it? I'm just curious what the increase is there to 850.
That $850,000 is the number that the board over the past several years has budgeted for construction. That's including either to contract with a construction management company, for example, Nicholas and Associates in this past year on these projects, or to budget for contingency.
So is that based on historical? Because I thought our number was always 750, yes. So maybe it's an average?
750 is what we typically budget. The overage is reflective of the additional costs that we incurred completing the Westbrook project, getting through the parking lot islands and all the additional fees incurred with that. That we needed that extra $100,000, so that's why it was upped for this year.
Okay, and that would be come through on this upcoming budget.
Yes.
Okay, so that makes sense. And I guess the other question is on this 1.9 under the educational. I know Elaine, there's another piece about some of your thoughts with, the staffing model and potential some ideas I think we're discussing today potentially. But does that include your thoughts on that, or that's going to be in addition?
No. The in reference to the memo that I gave you, none of those changes are reflective in the budget because the budget was prepared before this all unfolded as of early this week. So, no, it will be reflected when you get the updated numbers for the September approval of the final budget.
Okay. So our deficit will even be higher then?
Moderately. As it turns out, as we've hired, we have been able to fill those student services coordinator positions, and they have been filled with teachers, one internally, so there was no differential on that salary. The second one was a new salary, but the classroom vacancy that incurred will ultimately be filled with a younger, less experienced teacher. We're pretty confident because of the timing of the year. So I don't really see a marked influence on those numbers at this point.
Okay. And, okay, I think that's it for right now. Oh, actually, under the support, so where was it that I just saw? I think it was a little bit, maybe it's the higher one where you said about, I think it was this one, or maybe it was on the other page. But you talked about $700,000 And you mentioned that was mainly earlier when you were talking to Joe about making up the transportation piece of it. Is that, and I thought I saw it under the bucket of support, and I was just trying to understand if that was the net cost for the transportation, or if support, meaning there could be other programs that it's tying to.
Are you talking about then line item 22, the total transportation deficit?
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I think 14 is the support to.
Was that it?
14.
Yes, thank you. So it's column F under transportation, and then it just says support services. So that's 731,000. For some reason, I thought we.
That's the we contract with the bus company, transportation right. company for a student.
Yep, and so that's the only fee that's tied to that number.
Yes, on the expenditure side. But that's taking into consideration the regular routes, any kind of midday routes for Westbrook,
right.
and any kind of like a late bus, like an activity bus that runs at Lincoln.
Mm-hmm. And that includes the reflection of adding that extra bus that we approved last year, because we didn't want the Westbrook students getting home too late in the day, right?
Yes, that's including the extra route.
Okay, that's probably why the numbers throw me off. Okay, thank you.
Can I piggyback on that? I'm sorry. Does someone else want to? I'm related to that same question, because I had asked a question of Elaine earlier via email, and that was about the increased expenditures in special ed. So the special ed transportation, is that included under the special ed line item, or would that also be in the transportation column?
Anything related to transportation will be under transportation.
Okay.
But any increases to like the special education tuition, summer school tuition, with where we're adding more students to those programs, adding students to different placements, adding instructional assistance to help to support those students, that would all go back and come out of the education fund.
Jolene, or let's go. Jerry, go ahead.
Yeah, I just have one question. Back in June, we approved the budget assumptions for which are the starting point of this budget. And I know that the numbers, you know, probably, I'm sure, have been tweaked some, you know, as time went on, because, as you said, we get more current information.
Mm-hmm.
My question is there anything in there that significantly changed, you know, that this basically an assumption was found to, you know, like not be valid and had to really be changed in order to get the budget?
Are you talking about assumptions with the fund balances or with the revenues or expenditures?
Expenditures and revenues. Back in June, as we in the past done annually.
Back in June, you would have had, the board would have been presented with assumptions based on the best available data at that time.
Right.
So since that time, the time we didn't, the state didn't have a budget, didn't have an education budget yet. There's been a lot of, you know, hiring and movement of personnel. The auditors have been here and have moved some receipts around between FY16 and FY17. So yes, what you're seeing here is an update, a more accurate update of what you saw in June. And then in September, you'll see a more accurate update than what you see right now, as staff has continued to be hired and new staff comes on board with actual salaries and actual benefit numbers.
Right. So I understand that it's, you know, been tweaked and will continue to be until the final budget's approved. My question is, you know, was there any assumptions in there that, you know, really just didn't hold water and had to basically be thrown out or really drastically changed?
Not to my knowledge. The only thing that I can speak to is that the biggest question at that time was, as you know, what was happening with the state budget. We didn't have a state budget, and it wasn't until those final days of the General Assembly in June where the state budget was passed, and the education per pupil funding was coming in at for the first time in several years at the actual foundation level.
Okay, thank you.
I had two, that was one. So the second one is actually more of a clarification. point that was brought up earlier in the comments, that the fees that are reflected here are the fees that we agreed to last December.
Yes. Yeah. So all of the revenues that are coming in as included in the local sources is taken into consideration the local property taxes, but also all of those local fees are a part of that local revenue.
Okay. And
so
based on what we agreed to last
week. What the board agreed to in December and January of the prior school year, prior fiscal year, for this current school year, fiscal year.
Nobody over there? And then let me just, another point of clarification for everyone, but if you remember, although our facilities fund is $750,000 a year, that's what the board has established. As Dale was going out, I think it might have been the July meeting or even the June meeting, he asked that for this fiscal year it be increased to $850 to cover those additional Westbrook costs. My understanding is that that's just a one-year accommodation, although he did ask us also to consider raising our, what we attribute to that capital projects fund annually. So that's something that the board probably will want to think about going forward.
And something on that same note, just reminding us that this fall, the district will be completing the 10-year life safety evaluation, which is required. So the architects will be going through a thorough checklist of all of our buildings and giving a prioritization list of things that need to be either fixed or updated in a priority order. So that's something that will be done early in the fall and will be reported to the board so we can more accurately prepare for construction short-term and also long-term.
And did you say that's something that's done every 10 years?
10 years, and this is the year that we're up for it.
Okay. Any other questions about the budget, folks? All right, thank you, Adam.
Thank you.
And next is Superintendent's Report. Elaine?
The first item to report is on FOIAs received. The first request was received on July 28th from a Catherine Smizer of NBC Universal. She requested any current licenses, leases, or agreements with telecommunications providers for cellular antenna and or towers installed by the provider on school property, and if so, she wanted copies of all current lease agreements, including documents showing the location of all cellular antenna and or towers in the school district's property and the amount paid to the school district each year by the telecommunications company. We responded to her on August 1st and informed her that the district does not have any leases or agreements with telecommunications providers for such equipment. The second request was received on August 8th from Kenzie Verheyen of One Chance, Illinois. She requested if the district has an acceleration policy, and if yes, does it allow students to enter kindergarten early, to enter first grade early, to allow students to take classes at a higher level than their current grade, to allow students to skip grades, or to allow students to graduate high school early. We responded on August 11th and sent her the District 57 policy regarding admissions, District 57 guidelines for early admission to kindergarten, and District 57 enrichment program placement criteria. Those were the FOIAs received. The only other item to report on the superintendent's report is if the board would like to have any discussion or would like any further clarification regarding the personnel memo that I put in. I will point out also included was an update of the FTE staffing plan from what you approved back in February for this current school year, pointing out some of the additions that have incurred. We've added .5 instructional assistants in ELL at Fairview and at Lyons Park. These will be paid for through the grant that we receive. We've increased instructional assistance for large class sizes, and I'd like to think that we have some small class sizes, but unfortunately we don't. So we're just trying to keep those that are large, providing them some additional support. There will be two instructional assistants at grade 3 at Lyons Park. It equates to a half instructional assistant for the morning, or one for the morning and one for the afternoon, so they're splitting the duty. Right now, grade 3 is at 27 and 28 in the sections. There are four sections.
In which building?
At Lyons Park. Westbrook, again, our first grade has peaked up to where it was last year when we implemented three instructional assistants. Again, they spend half day in each of the sections. The class sizes are 25 and 26. Kindergarten also is incredibly high this year, higher than I can find data in the district. 232 kindergartners. So we increased from 9 sections to 10 sections. Typically we project at about 192 kindergartners. So that was 40 over our projection from last year. So those numbers will be updated with the enrollment study that will be done for the September 29th board meeting. So those are some of the highlights about staffing and the changes in the staffing plan from what you approved back in February. As I mentioned earlier, we have secured individuals to serve as those student services coordinators for both Fairview and Lincoln, since we lost our school psychologists in each of those buildings. One of those positions is going to be filled by Una Durkin here at Fairview, and we will be finding a new classroom teacher for her fourth grade students. Dan Walsh is the other candidate for Lincoln, and that's reflected on the updated staffing personnel memo. So any questions you have about that memo? Mm-hmm.
Just on the kindergarten with the 10 sections, obviously we were able to find space for that.
Yes. Well, because remember, you're running five sections in the morning and four sections in the afternoon. So that afternoon section, mm-hmm. that classroom was empty. Okay. So it just felt they're just not empty anymore.
And what is the typical classroom size and the average classroom size for kindergarten?
For the kindergartners, it's a 23-24.
And I know that you missed the building walkthrough, Jen. But one of the things we learned is that Westbrook is completely filled, 10 sections of first grade, 10 sections of kindergarten, mm-hmm. all the classrooms are being used. There is no art room now. This year, art will be on a cart. Mm-hmm. So we don't even have the flexibility to add any more sections or hire any more teachers. There's no space in the building.
Can I, Joe?
Yeah.
So when you need an additional instructional assistant, do you base it on the number over, or is it just the makeup of the class, or a combination of the two that you look at?
It's the grade level and then the number. We can let fourth and fifth grade sit at 27, 28. They're older. It's more manageable. It's not ideal, but it's more manageable. The younger the children and the higher that number goes, when we hit 27, I've got to have help. Okay. So that's usually the tipping point is when we hit 27.
Thank you.
Just refresh my memory, when do we get the enrollment projection?
It'll be at the September 29th board meeting. Yeah.
One other question for Una Durkin. Does she have a fourth grade class now?
She did. She started the year with them. And we're going to have, she won't assume the duties of that student services coordinator until we have a classroom teacher secured for that classroom. And we're going to provide some transitional days so that it's as smooth for the children as possible.
Okay.
And she's going to do, they're going to wait and do the back to school night for that class. Yeah. After that, new teachers.
Do the parents know?
Yes, they received a letter today.
Okay.
Thank you. All right, moving on. Next is the consent agenda. Does anyone have any items that they need to pull? I forgot to check the attendance at our last meeting. Was there anyone absent here, July 21st?
I think we were all here.
I think we were all here.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any other items anyone would like to pull? We have personnel transactions, financial reports. Did you review the financial reports, Jerry?
Yes. Everything was fine.
Everything looks good. And the accounts payable as well?
Yes.
Okay. So can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the four items in the consent agenda.
Second.
Mr. Pasto?
Yes.
Mrs. Kobus?
Yes.
Mrs. Kowalcha?
Yes.
Mr. Lean?
Yes.
Mr. McCluskey?
Yes.
Mrs. Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Sonnenfeld?
Yes. And there is no unfinished business on the agenda. So this is a second opportunity for community comments. If there's anybody present that would like to address the board, share your thoughts. Okay. Then we'll move on to new business. And the first item is approval of the 2016-17 tentative budget. Can I get a motion?
I move to approve the 2016-17 tentative budget.
Second.
Mrs. Kobus?
Yes.
Mrs. Kowalcha?
Yes.
Mr. Lean?
Yes.
Mr. McCluskey?
Yes.
Mrs. Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Pasto?
Yes.
Mr. Sonnenfeld?
Yes. And the second item under new business is to approve the resolution 160825A, providing for the sale of working cash fund bonds not to exceed $2 million. So this is the third time that we've revisited this topic. If anyone has any questions for Adam, this would be the time. Otherwise, I'll entertain a motion. Would anyone like to move to approve the resolution?
Move to approve the resolution 160825A, providing for sale of working cash fund bonds not to exceed $2 million.
Second.
Mrs. Kowalcha?
Yes.
Mr. Lean?
Yes.
Mr. McCluskey?
Yes.
Mrs. Nagel?
Yes.
Mr. Pasto?
Yes.
Mrs. Kobus?
Yes.
Mr. Sonnenfeld?
Yes. And then finally on the agenda, we have a board discussion item. And this is in reference to our board self-evaluation, which will be on Thursday, September 8th. And I did hear from a few of you about agenda items you'd like to be on that. I'll go through the list and then we can discuss if there's any other ideas that you have. To revisit the superintendent evaluation process, there were some items that we discussed last year, so it's probably a good idea to revisit that each year. The flow of information from administration to the board, also board discussions, meeting discussions, I assume. And then someone said, or Dennis suggested today, that we discuss recruit candidates? Cultivate new board members. So those are some things. And I'm going to be speaking with Barb Tony on Monday to put together the agenda for this self-evaluation. So if you have anything, if there's anything now, on your mind?
How many, or maybe you haven't had this discussion yet with Barb, but how many agenda items do we want on there so that we can, you know, not be rushed as we address each one?
Yeah, I haven't had the discussion with Barb yet, and I think, you know, this so far this looks manageable. Of course, she'll have, you know, things for us, exercises and activities for us as well. So, and I'm sure y'all got the memo that the closed session that was originally scheduled for this evening will now be on the 8th. So we'll be starting the meeting with closed session for that other topic, and then we'll go into the self-evaluation. So,
is there a stop time for the self-evaluation? Or, you know, I guess what I'm saying is, if we're going to start it late, are we going to end it late so that we still have the full amount of time?
I don't even remember. What was it? Usually a, like
Barb
a three-hour meeting?
End it by 9:30. She likes to be done.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we can get an idea from Lynn Himes how much time we should allow for that closed session initially, but I think that we can still do the, you know, get everything done by 9:30. Yeah.
Yeah, and I do believe, just from knowing last year, we did not do any of the formal self-evaluation. We just had board discussion during the self-eval. And Barb usually has those tools for us to do the online survey and mm-hmm. everything. So part of our discussion was we wanted to do it this time. We felt like every year was maybe just too much. Mm-hmm. So
that's my memory now. So yeah. did we do our board self-evaluation without Barb last mm-hmm. year?
Yes, we did.
Oh.
Yeah.
Such a mature board.
We'll go with it.
I said, we'll have.
And you know, I've looked up the next steps from last year, and I will email that to you so that you have it for your discussion with Barb. Then,
thank you.
Just so some continuity.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No problem.
What about the community engagements? Do we need to?
I think
that.
Yep, I think.
How do we end it? I mean, I know we did a couple last year, but did we table those this year, or is our plan to still do community engagements? Or?
I recall the intent was to do a couple. We thought that two worked out really nice uh-huh. instead of the three.
Okay.
And, you know, kind of building, you know, our story, mm-hmm. Talking about the needs of the district, the, you know, short-term and long-term needs of the district, kind of along the lines of what, Joe, you were talking about for your back-to-school night mm-hmm. Remarks.
Yeah.
you know, coming up with, so, I mean, that might be just a board discussion topic at a meeting, mm-hmm. I might think, rather than under self-evaluation.
And the only other thing, I know we've talked about this, and I know we talked about it last year as well, but maybe just to get some clarity from her, which would be on the whole policy piece. Because we talk about how we have the policy right. committee mm-hmm. who reviews it, but then you go to the conferences and they talk about that every, you know, board meeting you should be reviewing some policies within, you know, during that timeline, and how do we, and then we talked about, you know, there's specific policies that coordinate or complement our agenda. So I guess I just want to make sure that we are covering it and there's not anything that we should be doing from that perspective. That would be one of my questions.
Okay, any other thoughts?
And then maybe if when we fill out our evaluations, we can kind of talk about how our meetings are working and running.
Yeah, weren't we discussing about doing this every once in a while, like doing a form like
you
this?
You know what? The last time we had talked, why don't we do it right before our self-evaluation?
Okay.
So this is right
okay.
before
I
the
evaluation. We weren't doing it every time, but I thought maybe it was a
yeah.
couple of times.
Yeah, well, I think every time yeah. seemed a little cumbersome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, every time.
Yeah.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Any other thoughts? That covers everything on the agenda. We have no need for closed session this evening. So If there's nothing else, can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
We are finished. Thank you, everyone.
Would you like to have a roll call?
Oh, I guess so.
Boy, you're a little...
What's that?
Are you...
Yes. Yes or no?
Yes or no. I'm used to...
A little bit.
Yes.
Mrs. Nadel?
Yes.
Mr. Compasto?
Yes.
Mrs. Kalchick?
Yes.
And Mr. Sonnenfeld?
Yes.